Bonjour à tous, bienvenue à Potluck Food Talks. Je suis ici avec mon cousin, l'enfant terrible Phil, coupeur de julienne de carottes. Aujourd'hui, nous allons parler de Paris, mon amour.
Merci beaucoup, mon ami. L'enfant terrible.
Oh, mon frère. Ça va?
Yeah, ça va bien, et toi? Yeah, it's really interesting. Now I know that a Potluck Food Talks on French is Potluck Food Talks. You learn something new every day.
You see? I have a box full of surprises, man.
Yeah, man. How are you doing?
How's you been, man? You're fresh back from Paris, right?
Yes, I am.
How was the trip?
A little family vacation. It was good. Paris is quiet this time of year, you know? It's not so many tourists.
I think this is one of the best times of the year to travel. I just finished a tour just a few minutes ago. And it's so nice to walk through old town in San Sebastian right now. Everything's empty. You just walk into the places. Well, the bad thing is that there are some iconic places that are closed. But the ones that are open, you just walk in. It's empty. No queues. You ask for whatever you want.
Unless they're selling tortilla pieces at half price.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all like a fucking utopia, man.
Nice one. Yeah, no, it was good. I didn't do too much eating, actually, because I was there with my son, and it was less of a foodie trip and more of a cultural family trip. But I went to eat at Le Savon. It was very good again. I've been the last time like 8 years ago. Just good cooking, you know? Just very good cooking. Saw some friends. That's nice. The restaurant scene there is intense, you know? I noticed it again this time around. It's like something you don't really think about is that the competition is so heavy. Like you go to even like small restaurants and it's like they're open, like they're full lunch and dinner. And I feel like you're either good or you're out, you know, you're dead. So like the basic level is like relatively high from the places that I've seen.
I have such nice memories of Paris. I think, well, for sure, it's one of the food capitals of the world. So I want to hear the highlights. Spit it out. What was it?
What were the highlights? I mean, you know, 6th of January is, what's it called in English?
Holy Kings? I don't know.
Yeah, well, so obviously there's a lot of Galette du Roi.
Galette du Roi.
Galette du Roi is what you eat around the 6th of January. It's a cake that's only made at this time of year. It's basically two sheets of puff pastry with it's like a frangipane sort of almondy filling, yeah, which is really nice, you know? And it's like, I'm sure you've seen it. It's like flat and round. And
I'm seeing it right now. It's kind of like it looks like a falafel somehow, right?
Like a falafel?
No?
No.
Galette du Roi.
No, the roi, with an R, like king, king's cake.
Now I see it. Okay, like a pastry, nice. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so that was obviously very cool. And, you know, we had a really good pastry shop next to us. And they did like a yuzu galette du roi and like gianduja noisette and like just a general kind of like availability of good food was really, really nice. I mean, when we arrived, you know how it is when you're traveling and you kind of arrive on like an awkward time, you haven't got a restaurant reservation or something. And like, we just walked down the street and like, I went to a fromagerie, got some butter, got some cheese, picked up some bread in a bakery and some like mandarins and you had dinner, you know? And then like, I was already like, okay, this is cool. This is great. The cheese shop also had some jam. Like some wild blueberry jam. You're like, hey, cool, nice one. And you already have a nice dinner. You've got nice cheese. You've got nice butter. Fucking most expensive butter of my life.
What else do you want in life? That's it.
Yeah, exactly. But then I walked past the butcher shop and I stopped because on the counter they had packs of homemade tartiflette. You know tartiflette? Like a potato gratin with cheese. That they were just selling, like, by the, like, I guess they make it and then they put it in plastic boxes and sell it at the butcher shop. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I saw that they have a chicken rotisserie just going, you know, because poulet rôti is a staple. So I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, just let's get some tartiflette and let's get a, like, a roasted chicken. And it's like, you have this, like, makeshift dinner of just like really good stuff, you know? It's just
amazing.
Really simple, really nice. In general, this whole trip was like, I didn't go to any like super fancy places. I went to my friend Roshan's place, as in like where he works, not his own place yet. And there's also sort of like, you know, just like pasta, vitello tonnato, but like nicely made, you know, beautifully plated, nicely made, good products.
Paris is so cool, man. I have such nice memories of Paris.
And, you know, honestly, like it's been a little bit since I've been in Paris the last time before this time. And this time around, I was super pleasantly surprised. People were friendly, which is crazy.
Well, for French, okay, that's a highlight, okay?
Yeah, and although I am a fairly multilingual.
Me too, you saw the intro.
Yeah, I did. I'm very impressed. My French is terrible, right? I can barely stammer enough together to get through the day. Regardless, people were super friendly. It was nice to communicate with people. They weren't condescending and shitty. Maybe everybody was relaxed after the holidays, who knows? But yeah, the city was really pleasantly empty. There wasn't that many people around, which was super nice. Clean also. And like I noticed this time around, for the first time, I went to the Eiffel Tower because my son wanted to.
Up to the tower?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never been there.
Exactly, me neither. Because usually I don't do touristy shit. I just want to go eat. And I want to go to like neighborhoods and like little shops and maybe like galleries and museums and stuff. But I don't usually go sightseeing, right?
What I did last time is I didn't went to the Eiffel Tower, but just in front of the Eiffel Tower, I mean in front, but like, I don't know, 2 miles away, there's like this tower that you go up and you see all Paris with the Eiffel Tower in the sightseeing.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, that's nice. But yeah, my son really wanted to go on the Eiffel Tower. That was like his whole thing. And when we were up, I looked around and I realized something that I hadn't really thought about, that Paris doesn't really have any skyscrapers. It hasn't really got any of those like big city buildings.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It has one cluster that's like very together. But apart from that, it's just these like very iconic apartment buildings, these like with this like white stone kind of tin roof. And that makes the city feel, even though it is a very big city, that makes the city feel really, really nice.
Yeah.
Big parks, lots of like beautiful monuments. I mean, we're used to this in Europe, you know, everybody in America, like, you know, shedding a tear right now. But even so, like, it's just, and I was like, man, it's really nice here. Like, it's really, really pleasant here. It's not as like junky filled and dirty as I remember.
You saw rats.
Not a single rat.
Not a single rat.
Not a single rat.
You weren't in Paris, man.
Maybe I was somewhere else. Maybe I was in, maybe I accidentally flew to Las Vegas and climbed the little tiny Eiffel Tower that they have there.
No, Paris without rats is not Paris.
Eric, I don't know where you go, you know, like what neighborhoods you frequent.
Have you heard of Paris syndrome?
Yes, of course. Yeah. I had to think of it a few times when I was there. There were a lot of Asian tourists actually there. I mean, there weren't that many tourists, but there were a fair few Americans.
But did they look happy or they were like sad? Because
they looked fairly happy.
Because the city was disappointing.
They looked fairly happy. I mean, like this time around, I had a really good time. It was like the metro worked super well. I was really impressed. I was kind of thinking back to the metro system here in Berlin and like the public transport. I was like, man, fuck Berlin, you know? It's horrible. And like you go into the metro in Paris, you don't wait longer than like 5 minutes and your train's there.
Oh, the subway in Tokyo is so over the top. It's so incredible. Mm.
Yeah.
So food. I want to listen. Food bite. What was it?
Like I said, I didn't go to too many places. Like I had to keep a 6-year-old child in mind. But we went to a couple of bistros. I went to Carbonis. It's like an Italian restaurant. It was really nice. They have this like, they make all the pasta in-house and it's just like solid cooking. Everything's aesthetic. And I was like, it's the kind of cooking I really like, you know, it's like vitello tonnato, slow cooked veal with like they made the tonnato sauce in a espuma. So it was like very airy, but like not over the top, like a whoosh, espuma, not like whipped cream, just very lightly, you know? And I made the whole dish like really light and delicious. We had rouget in like a bisque sauce with roasted cabbage, just simple shit, you know. Peachy in like a cacio pepper sauce with like a soy marinated egg yolk on top.
Some crepes? Did you have some crepes?
I did not have any crepes, no. We went to a couple of bistros, went to this really nice, like old school bistro. They're open 7 days a week and it's no reservations, just walk in and they're full every single fucking day. Lunch snails? And dinner.
You had some snails?
I had some snails. I had the escargot, I had the leeks en vinaigrette, I have had oeuf mayonnaise, oeuf mimosa, you know.
Like this devil eggs, you had some of those?
Yeah. All the classics, all the classics. Nice. I had the terrine of the day.
Steak tartare, of course.
Steak tartare, correct. Okay, yes, good, steak frites.
Very good.
Absolutely. I had some boeuf bourguignon as a main course.
Good.
My big friend. No, unfortunately not. I was really looking forward to that. I actually, one thing that I was really after, nobody had, was steak au poivre.
Oh, I love that shit, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that shit. That used to be my favorite dish as a kid.
Oh, so good, man. So good. I'm thinking of doing it at the restaurant. Just fuck it. Just put a tenderloin on some pepper sauce, but like a nicely cooked pepper sauce.
Do it, man. Like, I love that shit.
Yeah, me too. You have to embrace a classic sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But well done, you know? Like a good steak au poivre. Fantastic.
Desserts? You went to this mimetic guy. What is his name again?
I did not go to Cédric Gollet.
Cédric Gollet, exactly.
No, I went to, what's his name? Cyril, something like that. Lignac. Cyril Lignac. I don't know if I'm pronouncing him correctly. But that was good. Just like croissants, pain au chocolat, queen amand, just the usual sort of breakfast stuff.
Nice.
What else stood out? Escargot.
Macarons,
absolutely, yeah.
Good ice cream?
No ice cream. I mean, it was pretty freezing, but like nice cafes, you know? Like nice little cafes. I went to this place, Cafe Kitsune, and just just good vibes. Yuzu honey tea. Impeccable merch, you know, from the cute baristas.
Stinky cheeses,
yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Oh, I love Paris.
Like I said, Le Savon, you know, was really good. I love this mix of like, because, you know, Tatiana Lever, the head chef, she has such a crazy background with like having been the sous chef at La Strance and like having worked for Alain Passard before, and everybody thought she was going to open the next 3-star. And then she opens this like little bistro with her sister. Again, I thought it was a great meal. Like it was really, really good. You know, this mix of Asian and French, you know, like Boudin Noir, wontons.
Oh, so nice.
Homemade sweet chili sauce. What else do we have? We had a really nice steak tartare with like fried shallots. And she has these like really smart touches in her dishes where I'm kind of like, oh, really nice. Like, for example, in the steak tartare, she had just the stalks of the coriander, like cut into really, really fine dice. I also actually cook like that, where I kind of like, I separate things into different parts. Like, for example, I use the stalks for one thing, but I'll use the leaves for another. Because the stalks, they don't just have a different texture. They also have a slightly different flavor. And these like little crunchy bites of coriander in between the like chopped tartare was really, really nice. And you wouldn't have had that with the leaves. Tête de veau. Veal head, you know, made into a terrine, crispy fried, and then served with a remoulade seasoned with gochujang. Very, very nice. Really good.
There's a restaurant in Paris I really want to go. It's Yamcha.
Oh, yeah. It's super famous, yeah. I think they have the 2 Michelin stars or something like that, no?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like, let me check. No, 1-star. They have 1-star.
1-star. Yeah, you know, she used to work together with Magnus when they were at La Strance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's this French chef who cooks like Chinese-infused French cuisine, I would say. And it's like with tea pairings, which is what I find most fascinating about it. And I know that they have this guy from Hong Kong who imports like really high-quality teas from China.
Her husband, I think, is Chinese. And
Hong Kong, this guy, exactly.
And it looks really, really cool. I like this like whole aesthetic, and like the techniques and the produce is so interesting. And there was like, but it's like really smart cooking in a way, you know. There's like, even in this, I mean, I say even, you know, I mean, but like, I love seeing these like more casual places, but with so many like details and finesse.
Oh, yeah.
I had this main course there, which was a chicken with Swiss chard. And they told us, yeah, the Swiss chard, it's cut really small. And then it's kind of cooked like a risotto with pistachios. And I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. You know, like cooking a vegetable like a risotto with pistachios. And the dish came. The chicken was super superfluous. You didn't need the chicken. But the dish itself was super smart. Like the Swiss chard, it was cooked in like this lemon butter. It was toasted pistachios, and it was super, super delicious. And then that mixed with a little bit of the chicken jus. And then, super smart move, on the side of the plate, she put a little quenelle of chicken liver pate.
Oh.
And I was like, man, that's so cool. Like having a meat dish with like the vegetable components and then having a little bit of liver pate on the side, it like ties the thing in. And I was eating it. And Katie, who was there with me, she was like, oh, this is kind of like banh mi, you know, like when you have the chicken and the pate. And I was like, oh man, that's so smart, you know, like this is really, really smart. And we had another dish, like the beef tartare with the coriander stalks, that had little cubes of jelly, which was made from beef stock with spices, like with cinnamon and anise. I was eating this and I was like, man, this is really interesting, super interesting flavors. The texture is really cool. And then Katie, again, she was kind of like, I think this is like a little bit inspired in pho with the beef, coriander, stock.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's, it seems like it's really simple.
Or
but
also the other way around, you know, because pho was like a soup that the Vietnamese did to please the Western audience. So they wouldn't do like beef soups. So they started doing this for the white man, like to have something that they could commercialize easily, you know?
Yeah, this is, and those were the sort of things where I was like, man, this is nice.
I love when they do like this kind of salads, these French salads where they add like this beef gelatins to the salad, like just like as another ingredient mixed with the lettuces and everything. Incredible.
I don't know, you know, it kind of makes you think, because what I always notice in Paris is that the food culture, as in like not the culture of like people cooking, but just the culture of the normal public going out to eat food and buying food that's good, it's unparalleled almost, you know? I mean, Paris at some point, it wasn't at the top of the game regarding restaurants. It's at the time where there were other cities that were much, much better, you know? But like the French, you have to give it to them, you know? The eating culture is so profound, and really makes you think that other countries could really step it up a little bit with this acknowledgement of what is good food, what is eating good, you know, as a society, as a culture, what does it do, what does it provide?
Well, as Anthony Bourdain said, every time you step in front of a cutting board with a knife, you're in debt with the French. Most of the way we understand professional cooking, we owe it to them. What about bread? Some nice baguette? You have some?
Absolutely, yeah. Baguettes were really, really nice. And again, just so easily accessible. And there's another thing, you know, like we were talking about this over breakfast, because we got some, I mean, we went to this guy, you know, Cyril Lignac, and he's a super acclaimed pastry chef. The croissants were like €1 or something. And the pain au chocolat was like €2. And the Queen Amand was like €3 or something, right? And we were talking about how baguettes in France are regulated, right? Like the price of the baguettes and the baguette itself is quite regulated. And we were sort of like, is it the same with croissants? Because this is super affordable. Like buying a good quality large croissant for under €2 is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, and this again is like something that I'm kind of like, man, this is exactly what people need food-wise is... So like access to good food, access to good food should not be an elitist thing. And I get it. It's part of the whole game where sort of like certain people can afford to go to Michelin star restaurants and not, or like whatever. I already hate myself for making that statement because Michelin doesn't, this is not just everything Michelin is good and everything not Michelin is bad, but it's just an example, right? But everybody should have access to good food and everybody should be educated about good food. And I think it's something that's really lacking.
That's it for this week's episode of Potluck Food Talks. If you like what we're doing, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok as Potluck Food Talks. The show airs every Monday.